my time. Just a few days ago, I was not a debater, and I was not the son of a debater. But it just kind of fell my lot, and I have extreme pleasure to come and present the truth of the Word of the Lord, and I believe that with all my heart. If I did not believe that, I would not be here. And with all due respect to what has been said, I am not just teaching a Bible study. I am defending truth, and I am reaching for the lost, and I appreciate so much Mr. Pat Donahue, and I appreciate him for even coming back this afternoon, especially after Thursday night. He just likes to throw the good whoopings. So that's really all in jest, and that set aside, I really appreciate the element of sincerity that I've seen in Mr. Donahue. I do believe he is sincerely wrong, but from my heart, I believe he's sincere. And I'm going to tell you that from 50 years old, I've been preaching this Word of God since I was 15. And so for over 35 years, I've preached the Word of the Lord, and most of that full-time ministry, 26 years now pastoring, and I've never had a debate. But it was because of the sincerity that I saw in Mr. Donahue that I felt like that I wanted to do this, because I do believe he's a very sincere man. And I have one great desire in my life. My greatest desire is that I could save myself. I want to take heed to myself and save myself. And the next desire is that I might save others, and that includes Mr. Donahue. And I say that sincerely. There's no slam. There's no ill intent there. That is my prayer, and that is my heart's desire. You can put up chart number one. It's already up there. This is our proposition. I think this is just natural with debates. The Bible teaches that the miraculous gifts of the Spirit are still active in the church today. By the Bible, I mean all 66 books. Teach us to instruct, impart knowledge, or to cause to know. Miraculous gifts of the Spirit, the gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10, and of course, many other passages are still active in the church today. They are still in the church. We have a God that presents Himself in the Word of the Lord as a giving God. James said, 1 and 17, every good and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He said in verse 5 of James 1, He gives to all men liberally. Luke 12, 32, it's the Father's good pleasure to give. 2 Peter 1, verse 3, He gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter 1, verse 4, He has given us exceeding great and precious promises. And of course, 1 Corinthians 2, 12, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. And I think it takes the Holy Ghost for us to know what is in the church today and what those things are. God will let us know. Chart number two. And we're going to just be going in line for several charts, Brother Mark. A giving God, a few things that God gives. He gives the Spirit that's in man. That's your very life. He'll give a new heart and a new spirit. That is salvation, grace, and glory. He gives wisdom, abundant life, eternal life, peace. He gives apostolic authority and power. Next chart. He has given the gift of God, the gift of the Holy Ghost, the gift of righteousness, the gift of eternal life, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues. Next chart. Interpretation of tongues. He gives faith. It is the gift of God, shown in those two places right there. The gift of the grace of God. He gave apostles. He gave prophets. He gave evangelists. He's given pastors and teachers the heavenly gift. Next chart. The working of miracles, discerning of spirits, interpretation of tongues, speaking unto God. These are purposes of the gifts that He has put in the church. Now, I understand that I'm up here. I'm just setting a foundation. And we are debating that these gifts, miraculous gifts, are still present tense, 2005, in the church of the living God today. But let's give a foundation for these gifts. Why did God give these gifts to the church? For the working of miracles, discerning of spirits, interpretation of tongues, for speaking unto God. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. Speaking mysteries and
That's what the same verse where you're talking to God in an unknown tongue. Edifying, exhorting, and comforting men. Edifying yourself. Next chart. Edifying the church. Praying in an unknown tongue. Singing in an unknown tongue. It was a gift we're given for a sign to those that believe not, to manifest the secrets of the heart. They were given for healing, and they were given to give other gifts, such as when Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that is in thee, that was given thee by the laying on hands of the presbytery, or the elders, and that prophecy, and that that you received, the gifts that brought about gifts in the young preacher's life, Timothy. And so we're given these lists of things that God has given us as gifts. I submit that all the gifts I talked about are miraculous gifts. If the gifts have passed away, I understand that my opponent believes that they have all passed away. And he may come up here and contend and argue that the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life, is not a miraculous gift. I'm going to tell you, never has God done anything more miraculous for man than when he has saved him and changed him and given him a new heart, took away his sins and transformed his life. Saving faith, I showed you in the scripture, is the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Take that faith out. Take that gift of God out, and there is no salvation for mankind. We gave you the purpose of the gifts, and we want to give you chart number 7, I believe we're on, the examples of some of those gifts working in the church. Scriptural examples. Abacus was given a revelation, prophesied that there would be famine. Paul was given a warning by the same prophet of some things that he was going to face in the future. Peter, by vision and by word of knowledge and God speaking to him, was given commandment concerning going to the Gentiles and preaching to them the truth so they could receive of the glorious gifts of God. This is just a few of many, 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 along with 1 Corinthians 14 that gives instructions on the gifts. I submit that we have a Bible, or at least my opponent has a Bible, that if the gifts are gone from the church, there's so much of his Bible that does him no good. He might as well take it out. Anything that instructs about the gifts, anything that has to do, and you'll find out, he'll say, oh well, I'll take this verse, but I won't take this verse. I'll take this from the Word of God, but I won't take this from the Word of God. We've got this right here, but the verse right above it, or the verse right under, oh no, that's not for us. I am telling you, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, and what God has given to the church in these miraculous gifts, I intend to emphatically prove they are still in the church. Chart number 8. How long has God given these gifts to the church? He gave some apostles, some prophets. That's what we really, really hung up on, trying to deal with. Get these true prophets out of the church. We don't want these fellas in the church. We got to get them out of here. I'm sure we'll have to be talking about that a little bit more throughout this night. And so, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. How long? Till we all come. I asked Pat one of the questions. What is the we all in this verse? He said, all Christians, then and now, until we all come in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Get up here and tell me that all Christians are unified in the faith. I'm going to tell you that it's not so, and we still need apostles, and still need prophets, and still need evangelists, and still need pastors and teachers, and they are here for that purpose. How long? Until the gifts are available, till we all come in the unity of the faith. I submit to you that's going to be until Jesus Christ comes and takes His unified church out of here, and everything that's not in unity with the church is going to be left behind. That's right. How long has God given the gifts? 1 Corinthians 1 verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe Mr. Donahue is going to get back up here, and we're going to talk about apples and oranges. We're going to talk about hamburgers and chicken. I don't know, we may talk about ice cream suppers, but I'm going to tell you for sure, I'm going to talk about the gifts of God, the miraculous gifts of God that are in the church. How long? Until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who's He talking to? Those that were confirmed, and who shall also be confirmed. How long? Unto the end. That you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. The living Bible, every spiritual gift and power for doing His will are yours during this time of waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. In RSV, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. In IV, therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. Nothing there said until you get a bigger Bible. Until Jesus comes, He has put the gifts in the church and said, I don't want you to lack in none of them while you're waiting on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Next chart. Now, according to what I have heard about gifts being apples and second coming being oranges, maybe He'll come and straighten this out. We may not have apples to apples here. We may have apples to oranges, and that's not the same nature. I don't understand why fruit can't be the same nature. Chicken and hamburgers might can. But anyway, maybe He can explain that to me a little bit more. And you just got to understand that the gifts are to the coming of the Lord. How long are we given the gifts? Romans 11:29. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. The living Bible, for God's gifts and His call can never be withdrawn. He will never go back on His promises. In RSV, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. The NIV and the RSV says exactly the same thing. How long have we got them? I am going to tell you what God gives. He's not interested in playing games. He gave these gifts for our salvation, for our strength, for our exhortation, for our help, for our comfort, to direct us, to help us, to guide us, along with the good word of God. Hallelujah. And they are here by ordination of God, who gave them to us without repentance. And so, we can jump on down to chart 11. How much time have I got? That Indian giver God. Now you have it. Now you don't. Concerning spiritual gift, I would not have you ignorant. That even includes, of course, according to my opponent, we don't need that scripture. We don't need any instruction on spiritual gifts if we don't have any. Take that one out of your Bible. Don't ever look at that one again. We don't need that. We need to take this whole that He's talking about and start dividing it back up. Maybe that's some of the parts that's passing away. We don't need the Word of God. If the gifts are gone, we don't need the instruction about them either. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8, for to one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, another faith, gifts of healing, so on and so forth. God, verse 11, but all these worketh that one Himself, same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. Spirit of God put them in. What does this? The Spirit of God does this. And my opponent's opinion takes them out. God gives, and the church of Christ takes away the gifts of the Spirit in the church of the living God. Chart number 12. My opponent takes the liberty to decide which part he believes God takes, which part he leaves, but can he give us any scripture, real scripture, that says God took this gift away. God took all these gifts away. And really, that's what we're dealing with. They're here with us, or they're not here with us. So he gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He stepped them in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, miracles, gifts of healing. I'm showing you here that somewhere or another, he has decided that he can pick and choose. We're going to take away the apostles. We're going to take away the past prophets. We're going to take away the pastors. Let's leave some uninspired evangelists and some teachers. I submit that if the apostles were inspired and these gifts that God gave, the evangelists are, if you're going to take away the gifts, you can't pick and choose. We don't have a preacher left to talk to us. You put in the church first apostles, we're going to take them out. God set in the church secondary prophets, we're going to take them out. Teachers, we might leave them in. Miracles, oh, they got to go. We can't have miracles. Gifts of healing, they got to go. Yep, government, oh, we keep them. Diversities of tongues, no. We got to take them out. God took part out, God left part in, and we do have a dilemma right here. There's one good thing, if I got the time, next chart. The Bible teaches, understand it. Here we all come to the unity of the faith. These gifts are for us. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. They are irrevocable. God's not an Indian giver. God has given these things. I'm not saying folks can't backslide. I'm not saying folks can't apostatize. I'm not saying folks can't deny the faith. But I'm telling you, for the true church of the living God, God has put the gifts of the Spirit in our life. And I am so glad to testify to you that I have experienced these things. I'm not preaching from a dead letter. I am preaching from a living spirit of experience that has touched my heart and touched my life and changed my life. And that's why I feel so strongly and so convicted about these things. I am teaching you. I am defending the faith. And I am praying with all my heart, God, touch every soul that doesn't know you in the gift of the Holy Ghost, that doesn't have the gift of salvation, that is not exercising faith and a walk with God and enjoy all things that God has freely given us that pertains to life and godliness. Many exceeding great and precious promises. Why would we want to kick them out? Why would we want to deny faith when God told us to exercise faith? When God told us to build up faith? When God told us to take hold and lay hold of eternal life by fighting that good fight of faith. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit unto you that our God is a given God. He's a good God. He has abundantly filled our lives, our hearts, our souls, and our churches, true churches, apostolic churches of the living God, with His wonderful, gracious, glorious, and magnanimous gifts, has not taken them away. I have proven it by the Scripture, and my opponent is going to have to come up here and deny it. My prayer is that he will see the light and not only not try to deny the truths that I am telling you here today, but will come partaker and experience these wonderful gifts of God, these wonderful transforming things that God has given for the church and put in our life. I want him to feel God touch his heart and touch his life in this service today.